Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, the editor of iTricks.com, and in this, the January 17th, 2009 edition of the program, you'll hear about David Blaine performing for the Haitian earthquake victims, Andy Nyman describing the importance of narrative and magic, Morgan Strebler opening a new show in the Pat Boone Theater, the brand new Pat Boone Theater. And stay tuned to the end of the podcast when you will hear if this Harry Houdini guy has any sort of longevity in pop culture. Here to help us with all of this is not only a fantastic creator, but he is one of the flagship artists for Theory 11 and Paper Crane, Mr. Eric Ross. Welcome to the Magic Week in Review podcast. How you doing?
I am doing great, other than dealing with a sick baby.
Oh, has it been kicking around for a while, the sickness, or did it just come on?
She's been sick for a couple of days now. She just got some plugs put in her ears, so dealing with that.
I had the exact same thing when I was a kid. I had constant ear infections.
That's what she had. She kept getting the fevers, and the doctor said it was best to put these tubes in her ears.
Well, I'll tell you what, we all wish her a very, very speedy recovery, and we thank you for taking the time out to talk with us here on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, folks, this episode, as well as every episode of the Magic Week in Review, is brought to you by TrickShotMagic.com. You guys have heard me talk about it week in, week out, all right? But if you have not gone to TrickShotMagic.com, I do tell you to, you know, just go right now. Head on over to TrickShotMagic.com. They give you the brick-and-mortar experience, okay? The experience of you walking in to your favorite magic shop, sun streaking in the windows, and you're just fresh-faced and ready to find some new material just gonna kill. That's the experience you get. The head rush of adrenaline and excitement when you go to TrickShopMagic.com. They have the live chat feature. They're going to talk to you exactly about what you want to buy and what is best for you. And they're going to take care of you. Sam Blankenship is an awesome guy. And if you're in Old City, Temecula, California, in Southern California, head on over to the real Trickshop Magic. It is, in fact, a brick-and-mortar building. That's why they know how to give you the experience on the intertubes. So, one more time, TrickShotMagic.com. Tell them iTrick sent you. Our top story this week, David Blaine, in what has to be an idea he put together in like 12 hours, decided that he was going to go 72 hours, nonstop performing street magic on the streets of New York City. More specifically, it's a 43rd and Broadway, I guess, right next to the police recruitment stand, if you're familiar with Times Square. We just got word, we're recording this on Friday, so if anything crazy happens, then that's the reason why we're not talking about it. But I just got word from people down on the ground who are telling me that he is gathering thousands of dollars every couple hours. The Red Cross is coming by to pick up. You know, it is old school busking that he is doing. All the money is going to the Red Cross, which is going to help the victims of the Haitian earthquakes, which has absolutely devastated that island nation. Eric, let me ask you this. No special, no cameras. Is this the kind of stuff that separates David Blaine from the other big names in magic?
I think that this shows that David Blaine is a true artist who loves doing what he does. He's doing a bunch of charity right now, like you said, for the Haiti earthquake victims. I just think it's a very humble act, a very gracious act that he's doing what he can to give back to those victims.
Now, yeah. I'll tell you what, if you were putting together 70 plus hours worth of material to perform nonstop while you're going to be sleep addled, Just absolutely at the mercy of the elements. It could snow, rain, sleet. I mean, this time of year in New York isn't exactly a real pretty season. You know, what kind of stuff would you want to be out there with, street magic wise?
Street magic wise, 72 hours, that kind of weather conditions. It's got to be hard. I have no idea what I would do. Your hands freeze up, and it's hard to work with cards and coins. I have no idea what he's doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're getting some reports, so hopefully we'll be able to get a list of his repertoire and hopefully speak to the man. I mean, it's not like he's going to be out there. Maybe we'll just call him at 2 o'clock in the morning, see what he's up to, you know?
Yeah.
People are out there. I'll tell you, but that's got to be a pretty cool thing, man. You stumble out of a bar in Times Square and David Blaine's out there just, you know, performing magic tricks for you. That's a pretty sweet kind of thing. And, of course, everything goes to a good cause. So if anybody, I guess by the time that you guys are going to hear this, everything's going to be over. But if you did go out to New York City and you did throw but a few ducats in the bucket there, then we do thank you. And, of course, anybody, if you want to donate, of course, that is redcross.org. Andy Nyman described the importance of narrative in magic this week. It was all during press that he's doing for a new stage performance called Ghost Stories in Liverpool. More specifically, says this, the storytelling element of magic is the most important. Eric Ross is a guy who is valued for his mind of magic theory. Do you agree?
I personally do not agree. I'm more of an in-your-face, quick, and visual effect than going on to the next thing. I do not believe in long storytelling. It's not what I believe in, but I mean, if it works for him.
Well, I think, and maybe it was, maybe he didn't mean this, but what I took it to mean is that it's not necessarily like the patter element of storytelling. Like, you know, I once met a boy and he was on the side of the road and he had these three coins. Like, it's not like that. It's more of the storytelling of the effect that, you know, you have one thing and it turns into two things. Like that there is a beginning, a middle, and an end to the effect, no matter how long and short it is, or if, you know, there is any words actually even uttered by the performer.
I think that, I like them to just, like the spectator, just, I don't say anything. I let it all come from them, come out of them. If they want to tell the story a different way of what happened, it's cool. There's just that moment there where I believe you shouldn't say anything. You should let the magic speak for itself.
Well, there we go. When you're inventing stuff and when you're coming up with ideas, I mean, is there a sense for you as a creator that you want there to be, you know, a journey for the effect, or is it all about just the moment?
Depending on what I'm creating, I've done a lot of routine too. There's a difference between just doing an effect and doing a routine. So it depends on what you're performing. I've done a lot with you do have to have pattern. You do have to do the beginning, middle, and end. Probably when you're doing a long routine, I think that's when that comes into play. But if you're just going for a quick visual magic.
Yeah.
If you're doing restaurants or gigs and you got to.
Or let's say you're spending 72 hours on a Times Square street corner for charity, maybe.
That's got to be tough.
You're saying quick and dirty. Get in, get out, leave them with something.
Maybe not for 72 hours. You're going to have to pace yourself.
All right. Here we go. Next story. Morgan Strebler announced his new run of the Pat Boone Theater. It's going to stretch for many, many years. The facility is absolutely brand new and will be located in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, obviously, places like Vegas, Atlantic City, Branson, Missouri, these kind of gigs are reasonably common and certainly coveted by many magicians. But let me ask you this, Eric. Well, what are the upsides and the downsides of taking a permanent gig like Morgan will apparently in South Carolina?
The upsides of taking permanent gigs is you always have work, which is a lot of people that do magic professionally, they do it as a job.
Yes.
A living. So it's always good knowing you have something coming up. The downside of doing it is maybe you would have to get away and you couldn't because you're booked. You got to do it. Maybe a better offer would come up, but you're still tied to the. Did I read this right? Does it say 500 shows?
Yes.
Wow, that's about 41 a month.
Yeah, that's so that's pretty much like once every day, twice on Sunday kind of thing.
Yeah, that's insane.
Or maybe actually no, but maybe it doubles up on the weekends. I'm not very good at math. I don't know if you picked up on that. Yeah, no, he's going to be a very, very busy bee. Have you ever considered doing something like this? I mean, was this something that would appeal to you personally as a performer?
Not 500 shows, no. The most I'd sign is probably a month or 2 month gig. I did a campaign with a company a while back where I only signed a 2 month gig. I did about 15, 20 shows in 2 months, which I was set. I was pretty happy. I couldn't even do 41. I don't see the need to do 41 personally. That's insane. But
Well, tell you what, audiences are hungry. The Pat Boone Theater. You can't let them go without magic. I mean, Morgan's a very, very cool guy. He's certainly a friend of the site, and we wish him the best. But like you said, man, this is definitely a big challenge for him.
Huge.
All right. Eric, well, let's talk a little bit about you. You had some new material you're working on, right?
Yeah, I got a couple of effects in the works, a couple DVD projects. I got a bunch of friends I've made in this industry, doing a lot of consulting, getting a lot of cool offers.
Okay, can you talk about, anything? Give us a little hint, maybe?
Yeah. I got two DVD projects almost ready for release. One of them will be with Theory 11. That is an effect called Crush. And then I am working on a solo project with a couple friends of mine, Jacob Hansen and Armin Nabari. And that project's called P1, multi-effect DVD that I am putting out.
Very cool. Very cool. Can you describe the effects any or?
Yeah, describe them a little bit. Series effect Crush. It is an effect that involves, it's a mentalist effect with a plastic bottle and a form of I don't know what you would call it, telekinesis, if you will, but instead of a moving an object, you're doing something with that object that is completely unexplainable. That will be out soon. And then the P1 project is five effects I designed. I've created a lot of stuff, and along the way, you come up with stuff that's not big enough to put on a solo DVD project, or it's just not strong enough, and I decided to take five of those smaller effects and put them on one DVD. So that will be out also.
Very, very, very cool. You mentioned you're putting out Crush with Theory 11. You're working a lot with them and Paper Crane, right?
Yes, I've done a lot of work with Paper Crane. A lot of work those are my people there. But decided to venture off a little bit here, explore opportunities. What's that?
Is that nerve wracking? Any going off on your own a little bit?
Not at all. I thought it would be a little difficult and a little nerve wracking, but it's actually pretty cool. I've been blessed in this industry to make a lot of the friends that I have made, and they've helped me along the way.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, you called me earlier this week and you had a little bit of a beef with somebody that you kind of wanted to talk about on the podcast. I don't know if you still want to do it, but I just thought of that. And do you care to mention it or are we just going to move on?
I mean, in the end, essentially, I'm just going to move on. But I did want to call Kevin Parker out on his crediting problems he has. I did a lot of work with Kevin Parker in the past. And he's made some mistakes, and I thought we could work past them and get through them because I tried being a friend, and I got to be friends and enemies. And I give him another chance, and I ran into the same problem with a Kevin Parker. So he's not on my not on my cool list right now.
Gotcha. Do you care to name the effect in particular that you cheesed off about?
Yeah, I'll mention it. He hasn't released it yet, but he does plan on releasing it. He put up a demo and claims to release it. It's an effect with a magician spreads a deck of cards on the table, turns his back, a spectator picks one. While his back is turned, he turns around and tells the spectator what card they pick, which he is calling sadistic. Kevin and I had a phone conversation about 2 months ago now, maybe a month and a half ago. We were bored, and he's like, hey, you want to collab on something? I'm like, yeah, I'm working on this. And I told him my effect. He spread a deck of cards on the table, and I told him the whole effect. And I had it worked out. Everything was fine. I just, you know, Kevin, could you add anything to it to make it a little better, a little stronger? And we talked for an hour about the effect, and nothing came up. And sure enough, about a month later, which was a couple weeks ago, I get on and see that he's trying to release this effect.
Well, there we go. So yeah, the Kevin Parker thing, I'm sure people are talking about it on message boards and stuff, but you heard it here. Eric Ross not exactly pleased. If people want to get more information on you, Eric, where can they go?
You can email me if you'd like to talk about anything. You can email me at DerekRoss@beer11.com, or you can hit me up on MySpace at myspace.com/EricRoss69. That's where you can find me.
All right. There we go. If you need all the latest on Eric Ross. As we mentioned at the top of the program, there is an Australian escape artist who is going to try to extricate himself from all sorts of crazy impediments. He's going to be locked up in a box and dumped in the Yarra River in Australia because 100 years ago, Harry Houdini did it. It's a big centennial celebration, and he's going to go and try to match the master. Let me ask you this, Eric. In your lifetime, do you think that we'll ever see a decline in the relevance of Harry Houdini?
Decline in the relevance. Are you talking, will his image ever...
Well, will he ever, you know, right now you can say Harry Houdini and everybody knows who you're talking about, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
And he died, you know, I guess a little less than 100 years ago. It's certainly generations have passed since he was actually a top name star. But, you know, do you think that he's iconic enough within the world of magic that he's one of those guys that'll kind of just, you know, people will know who he is forever?
Harry Houdini, in my opinion, will never fade away. You got artists coming out that still give montage and props to Houdini, like David Blaine, for example. Houdini's one of those people that a lot of guys in this industry respect, and a lot of people in the world, when they think of magic, they think of Harry Houdini. So I honestly do not think Harry's name will ever be forgotten.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it'd be hard-pressed to argue against you. I definitely think that you're on the right track there. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Magic Week in Review podcast. I want to thank my guest, Eric Ross. Eric, thank you for coming in and helping us out, even while you're tending to your sick baby girl.
Yes, you are welcome. It was a blast. Thank you for having me.
All right, folks. Again, it is show@itricks.com. If you want to email in any comments, concerns, or complaints, until next week, I am Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang a gong.
itricks.com.